Wisconsin has its share of natural tunnels and caves, but in northwestern Wisconsin, a group of amateur excavators are constructing their own tunnel system through the area's plentiful sandstone. Wisconsin Today producer Trevor Hook recently ventured into the labyrinth known as Sandland. He takes us underground.
In western Wisconsin, about an hour from the Twin Cities, there's a road that splits to the north. As I get closer to my destination, I see a sign. Welcome to Sandland. Take only pictures, leave only footprints.
It's a place for people who never grew up to go crawl around and walk around and have a good time.
That's Eric Sutterlin, a contract mechanical engineer who lives outside the Twin Cities. Sandland is his creation. He bought a plot of land in Wisconsin back in 2011 and began what became his passion project. Today, Eric is out here with a couple of volunteers. One is fixing a part on the tractor that workers use to haul sand from the dig site down the hill. The tractor dates back to the 1960s.
I have a shoestring budget. Managing Sandland, paying for all of our expenses to keep digging. But what we more than make up for in terms of lack of funding is savvy friends who help us out as time permits.
Sandland has more attractions than I expected. Up the hill on the right is a decommissioned monorail from the Minnesota Zoo in the Twin Cities. Volunteers made the driver's cabin into something of a miniature museum. To the left, there's a treehouse one of Eric's collaborators built a few years back, but had to bring to ground level due to safety reasons. But the main attraction, the main reason I'm here, is down the hill straight ahead. The tunnels. One of the volunteers today is Dave Gerbeth. He's one of the chief diggers at Sandland. He takes what looks like large electric chisels with blades several inches wide and carves these tunnels underground.
So I kind of plan out what I'm thinking I'm doing in there, but it's all, nobody can see it because it's all in my head. But then they'll see my results as it plays out.
This has been Eric's passion project for around 13 years. He knows digging tunnels isn't everyone's cup of tea, but he says that it plays to his strengths.
You know, I absolutely respect people who have families, kids, houses. You know, it's great. But it's for my entire life being born awkward and different and having this strong interest in maps, caves, geometry, even, you know, like road maps, average annual daily traffic maps. I love that sort of thing. You know, I love being immersed in my special interests, and I don't really have much interest in family, kids, house, all that stuff.
There are a few ways to enter the tunnels. There's a door marked as an exit, and then there's what he calls the intended visitor experience. I choose the latter. We put on knee pads and headlamps. Eric turns the generator on to provide power to Dave for tunnel chiseling later in the day. Faded green paint covers a wooden door with a few signs around it. The intended entrance to Sandland is small. It's only about 3 feet tall. The only way through is to crawl. The only light is from our headlamps. This tunnel system is made of Jordan sandstone, native to Wisconsin and states like Minnesota and Illinois throughout the upper Midwest. In the tunnels, it looks like horizontal layers of white, orange, and gray stone that speckles a bit under direct light. You may wonder about the safety of going through the tunnels at Sandland. It's certainly something I considered while on my hands and knees crawling through a hole into the side of a bluff.
I feel pretty confident that the risk of exploring our tunnels is very low compared to a lot of, you know, common activities like riding a bicycle. And I think for people who are mobile and outdoorsy, I think the reward is very, very much worth the risk.
After crawling for around 70 feet, I reached a fork in the road. One tunnel going left, one right. Because the entrance to Sandland isn't just a crawling tunnel, it's a crawling maze.
I deliberately designed the maze so that you can't see any other intersection from any given intersection, because that makes it more confusing and mysterious.
Okay, all right, I'll go right.
All right. All right. Congratulations, you're taking the path less traveled because it's steeper. A lot of people go the easy way.
He's right. It's not the easy way. The sandstone is hard, even with knee pads and gloves. I'm carrying my microphone and audio recorder while we crawl, so I'm a bit slower than I'd like to be. After a few minutes, we're at another fork. I choose left, unsure if I'm about to enter one of the many loops Eric has made in this maze.
Pretty much every maze loop, I think there's three of them total, you go underneath yourself to be able to do a figure eight. Because three-dimensional tunnels are far more confusing than two-dimensional tunnels.
Yeah.
And so that's why we have all the ups and downs, just to make it confusing.
Right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, left. I'm crawling through section after section, and I'm getting hot. The temperature in the tunnel system is in the upper 40s, much warmer than above ground. I'm starting to sweat. The tunnel I'm in now is starting to look a little bit familiar. Or is it? Okay. Without spoiling, have I done a circle?
Would your visitor experience be better if I told you? Would you prefer to know, or would you prefer to have the mystery? I don't think it'll help you significant.
Sure, then let me know.
You did go in a loop.
I did, okay. After a few more minutes, I let Eric coach me through the maze, because I know there's more to see. Carving new tunnels in Sandland is a time-intensive process. The crawling maze alone took 5 years to complete. Down the ramp, we take a corner and emerge in a large circular area that Eric dubs the Donut Room.
It is a septagon. It's got basically one tunnel that's 5 feet wide, so it basically duplexes as a room where you can hang out and store things. And it's got seven different segments, each of which are about 11 feet long. We deliberately made it a septagon as opposed to an octagon because people would come in here expecting an octagon. And so if they're counting the drifts that come off of it, drift is a word for a side tunnel in mining speak, but if they're counting the drifts, they'd get a little confused.
The Donut Room is essentially a hub area that connects the rest of Sandland together. Each side tunnel here curves too, leaving you with no idea what's around the corner. Some are deliberate dead ends. Others lead to attractions that are under construction, like a 40-foot-long underground slide and a standing-level labyrinth called the Globe Maze. But the star of the show, the end goal of Sandland, was created by a contributor named Gabe. And it's one of the most Wisconsin things I've ever heard of.
This is Gabe's bar. Everything was designed and dug and created by Gabe. Gabe identified, you know, Dave and I are creating a lot of places you can move through, but we aren't really creating anywhere as like a place to hang out and move to.
The bar is a bit snug at around 15 feet long, with nearly everything carved directly out of sandstone. The bar on the left, the two booths and accompanying tables on the right are all solid sandstone. The sand grains throughout the tunnels here are bigger, more coarse than the sand you'd run into on a beach. Around the corner from the bar, before we head back outside, Eric and I hear a sound from a nearby tunnel. It's what Eric dubs the sound of progress. Eric's friend Dave is digging another section of tunnel, and it's time for Eric to take out a wagon full of sand.
How many wagons do you think I'll get in one day?
It all, you know, like my statistics professor at UW-Madison said, it all depends. You know, that's a really easy, quick place to get sand from. Most of the places, like back in the Globe Maze, if it's just Dave and I, we'd be lucky to get 15 in a good day.
After a short trek, Eric and I emerge from the lowest entrance to the tunnels. As he dumps the sand onto a fenced-in pile on the side of the ravine, I realize the sun's about to set. I've been in the caves for at least 3 hours. Time in Sandland is measured in years. Eric and his colleagues make plans for what they want to sculpt underground 5, 10, and even 20 years in advance. But Dave, the person who digs the most at Sandland, is 72 years old. Both Dave and Eric say they know that Dave might only have a few years of digging left in him at the complex. Eric himself is 44 years old and has early signs of kneecap arthritis from his years of cave exploration. But Eric is thinking much larger than the two of them for the future of Sandland.
I'm the sole member of our LLC, and in the long run, once I pass, it'll be a group of our top contributors because they are the people that can be most trusted to stay true to our mission and not try to, for example, divert it for profit.
Keeping true to that mission is important for Eric and his colleagues, because despite this tour, despite how generous Eric was with his time for me, Sandland isn't open to the general public. But, in Eric's words, they do welcome visitors and donations, and they hope to well into the future.
If Sandland was only going to last 30 years, we wouldn't be digging at all because, you know, that wouldn't be much benefit for our efforts. But since it's likely to last 1,000 years and hopefully thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not more, people will get to crawl through and have this unique experience that they'll remember for the rest of their lives. You know, that's a huge, huge motivation to keep on digging and make it as exciting as we can.
For Wisconsin Today, I'm Trevor Hook.
And thanks to Tyler Ditter for technical direction on that piece. You can listen back to that trip underground and all of the conversations we've had here on the show at wpr.org/WisconsinToday.